Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel, presented by Mainstay Financial and Anna Lee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Anna Lee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Anna Lee. Anna Lee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Anna Lee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com. Or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Anna Lee.
That's the truth. Oh, yeah, honey, we are all winners. The sun is shining. We're at the beginning of a new week, and here we are. Welcome to Winning with Mainstay and Anna Lee and Bob. We're so happy to be with you today. Good morning, Mr. Bob. How are you?
I am great. How are you, Annalie? Are you all rested?
Well, I am. I enjoyed my week away. Actually got to play golf for the first time in a year, because over in Gulf Breeze, there's no way I'm driving across the bridge on weekends to come over here and play golf. I avoid that bridge like the plague. So it was like, oh my gosh, I'm actually on a golf course and I'm playing golf and my body had no idea of what to do. It's like, what you want me to do? What you want me to move in what kind of direction? But after about six holes, it started catching on and it was like, yeah, okay, I can do this. I remember. So,
Well, not only did you play golf, but you played golf on a Robert Trent Jones golf course, and that's a special kind of experience. Yeah,
it is. They're beautiful courses, and they're very, very hard courses. They're tough courses, especially when you're used to playing what we have around here. And, you know, it figures, crazy me, I haven't played in a year, and what do? I go out and play Robert Trent Jones. I mean, that made a lot of sense.
It's a little more rolling. A little more rolling than the flat courses than we have here.
Unbelievable.
Between playing golf and chasing those three puppies, I'm sure you got no rest at all, right?
Well, I got exercise. Let me put it to you that way.
I did get exercise, and
it was good. But it's good to be back. And I was back in here, as you know, yesterday, and started pulling things back together because it's never stagnant. We're always doing things and always helping people. So, with all that said, I wanted to, yesterday I was in here in the morning, and then I went back across the bridge for the afternoon, about 2:30-ish, and I'm sitting outside in my backyard with the computer, and I'm working, and I get an email from Ed Slott. Now, this was yesterday afternoon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This was so late-breaking, I didn't even have time to tell Bob about it till this morning. But, we've been talking about how the IRA laws have changed in so many ways in the year of 2020. And, of course, the first thing they did in 2020 was they came out and they said, all right, for the year 2020, you do not have to make a required minimum distribution. Well, that was like, this has only been done twice in history. And last year was one of those times. So this was like, whoa, big stuff. It happened in 2009 and it happened last year. Yeah. So, okay, that was the first big thing. Whoa. Don't have to make a required minimum distribution. Then, for the first time since they put the table together of required minimum distribution, single life expectancy, they changed the age at which we had to take a required minimum distribution, your first one. Right. So this totally blew a whole section of our college class that we teach you know, and we had to explain the 70 and a half and the 71, and depending upon when you were born, just so confusing, okay? So then they come out and say, you don't have to make required minimum distribution until you're 72.
Right.
Okay. But that didn't change for my people who had already started taking distributions, okay?
Right.
So then they come out with this whole thing about beneficiaries. Now that was a biggie. That was a biggie. Because what advantage did we have, Bob, before they changed the laws in 2020 for our beneficiaries?
Well, the beneficiaries could use their own life expectancy and have the income taxes paid over their lifetime. That was called the stretch IRA.
Yeah, a lifetime. So if you left this your IRA to like a 15-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 2-year-old, they would have statistically taken their last distribution at like age 84, 85. That was just like you were giving your heirs a built-in pension. That's exactly what you were doing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what did they do in 2020? They waved the wand.
Yeah. The Secure Act, changed everything, didn't it?
So
what do we have now?
We can't do that anymore. So we are going to tell you if you inherit an IRA, unless you are the spouse or a person who fits in very specific categories, a spouse, a minor, but even for the minor, once they reach age of majority, it changed. A disabled person or someone not less than 10 years younger than you. They had different rules. But all the rest of everybody, they said, you got to take this out within 10 years.
Right.
Well, so we got on all kind of calls, and I got on 2 days of training with Ed Slott, and everybody's interpretation, including what was coming from the mouth of the government, or should I say the government horse, the horse's mouth, okay?
That's right.
I mean, what was everybody saying? And we got literature on this. What did it all say, Bob?
Well, now if we're morphing from the stretch IRA where it could be taken by a beneficiary over their lifetime, which was a great thing, dribble it out, not a big tax burden, to the 10-year rule, okay, the 10-year rule, meaning that within 10 years, that IRA had to be emptied and all the taxes paid on it. And to now, and this is, and for our listeners, when Annalee talks about Ed Slott, he is the foremost authority on IRAs and IRA planning. He is the authority.
The man is the guru. He is the guru. He is the master. I mean, Ed Slott travels the United States teaching CPAs, financial planners, attorneys, anybody who works with people's money about IRAs and the rules and the interpretation of the rules. The man travels the United States doing this and has for many years, okay? So everybody's interpretation of this law was you could...
Anytime within the 10 years, right?
Anytime within the 10 years, take money. So if you have a comment, by the way, or a question, call us or text us, 437-1620. I'd love to hear from you because I find this whole thing just so convoluted. Anyway, so I'm sitting there yesterday and I get this message from Ed Slott, which I'm going to play for you. I'm going to let Ed do the reveal, not us. Okay? So here is Mr. Ed Slott. I'm going to play this. Coming up. Take it a minute. It's got a buffer.
Right. And while it's loading, this is Mr. Ed Slott's interpretation of publication 590.
Wait. Bob, it's playing. Can you not hear it?
Cannot hear it.
Ah, daggone it. Ah, I thought you'd be able to hear this. And it's coming across very loud. Okay. So for some reason, it's not coming through the sound on here. All right, so I'm going to tell you basically what he is saying. Mr. Slott came on and went into an entire aspect of what is happening. Publication 590 came out Friday afternoon late, and this is typical with how the IRS tends to, excuse me, come out with the things that they do. So publication 590 comes out Friday, late afternoon, early evening. So of course, as soon as it's out, Ed Slott and all of his group are on this. They're reading it, they're trying to see what's going on, what's being said, what isn't being said, the whole ball of wax, okay? Right. So as you're reading publication 590, now the one thing I do want you to understand, please, publication 590 is not law. It is a guide. So this is not the definite yet, saying, okay, this is definitely what's going to happen. This is definitely what we've got to do. But the initial interpretation of 590 is that if you have inherited an IRA after 2020, now, if you inherited an IRA 2019, that doesn't matter, okay? It's 2020, all right? So if you got this IRA in 2020, all interpretations were 10 years. You had to get the money out within 10 years. There was no required minimum distribution. Well, guess what? 590 is now saying. 590 is now saying that if you inherited an IRA, yes, you have to get it all out within the 10 years, but what you also have to do is you have got to take the required minimum distribution based upon the inherited table each year, and then by the 10th year, clean it all out. That is totally contrary to what was said before. Now, tell me, Bob, does that make sense?
It really makes no sense, because what we had thought, what everyone had thought, it was universally believed that you had the full 10 years to take it out the first year, take it out over 10 years, take it all out over the 10, at the end of the 10 years in any manner you saw fit. But it had to be emptied by the end of that 10th year.
Yes.
Now, this changes everything.
It definitely does. I mean, it just means that everything that we had been told before, which tends to say to me that before this law was passed in 2020, there wasn't a lot of thought put into it and into the ramifications, should we use that word, of what it was going to cause. Because had that been done, there would not have been the confusion that there is right now. So Ed and Sarah, who is one of his chief CPAs that worked with him, Sarah has become a good friend of mine over the years. I call her and talk to her frequently about questions that I have when things come up. Both she and Ed have the same advice for right now. And Bob, what is that advice?
Sit tight. Do not do a thing. Whatever. The one thing we do know is that we have this year, right?
Yes.
We have 2021 to figure this out.
Yeah.
And it will be.
Yeah. It'll be figured out eventually, but if I would say to you for right now, just like Bob is saying, for right at this point, hold on. Don't do a thing, because see, here's the thing. If, like, remember last year when they said, all right, you don't have to do a required minimum distribution from your own IRA, but they set it later in the year, and some people had already taken a distribution and didn't want it. They were allowed to roll it back in. You cannot do that with an inherited IRA. You can't take money out and say, whoops, made a mistake, I want to put it back. That privilege is not allowed with an inherited IRA. So unless you need the money or you were planning on taking the money anyway, for now, I would say, Slot says, Bob and I both agree, for right now, sit tight till we have a definitive on this, on what exactly we need to do. Now, if you've already made a plan with your CPA, your attorney, your financial person, because I think everybody has to be involved in this. If you've already made a plan to take that money out across 10 years in equal distributions, I can pretty well tell you, you will probably hit your required minimum distribution anyway, in case they do come back and say it has to be done. But be aware that depending on your age and how much is in there, you might not hit the numbers exactly. So it's going to take some attention right now. It's going to take some looking at things, and it's going to take the whole idea of what is going on with, the tax laws for this coming year. So if you inherited an IRA last year, now again, I got to repeat this. If you inherited before last year, you are still under all of the old rules. Your life has not changed. Sorry. Okay. You still have to take your distributions. You have to do everything the same as you would have done before. Now, it's different. So I just want you, please, to be very, very aware of that. Don't get into stuff that you can't undo just yet. So don't let anybody tell you, oh yeah, look, it's been passed, you definitely have to do it. We don't have a definite yet. But I want you aware of the fact that changes have been made, and yes, that possibility is out there. And I know, in fact, I just got an email, came in from Ed Slot, members only, and it's more interpretation on the law and what's going to happen. So as things are going on, we will consistently be with you, giving you an idea of what is or isn't happening. So I got to go back and tell them again, Bob, what are we telling them to do?
We're telling them to sit tight and let's see how this entire matter unfolds. There's an interpretation. It's called Publication 590, and mm-hmm. it's issued by the IRS, but it is not law. It is
correct.
Not law yet. Very good chance that it will be. And
mm-hmm.
that is that you must follow the beneficiary tables for taking money out of an IRA and then perhaps in year 10, blow it out with that last one. That's the way I'm. That's the way we're interpreting this publication 590 right now.
Yeah, and that's for now. That is all that we can do. We can't give you anything else. I mean, if Ed Slott is saying hold on, I've got to say to you, hold on.
Right.
Don't try to do anything else.
Yeah, no guesswork here. And let me tell you, let me explain to our listeners why this matters. You know, if you're taking money out in accordance with the beneficiary longevity tables, then or life expectancy tables, you know, it's going to dribble out. So you're saying, well, that's not a whole lot. But here's the thing. Let's say parents pass, or a surviving parent passes with a $500,000 IRA. You and your sibling are the beneficiaries. That means $250,000 goes into a beneficiary IRA in your name. Now, if you are, let's say your parents passed in their 80s and you're in your 60s and you want to work another 5 years until you're 65 and you're, you know, let's face it, you're in your peak earning years, you do not want to add income to what is already your highest earning years. And the ability to push that out to year 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 is golden. That's a huge win in terms of income taxes for those first 5 years, not to have that money coming in to your taxable income and exacerbating what is already, you know, high income peak earning years for you yourself. So you know, the ability to push it out is really the reason, you know, you like to see the flexibility during those 10 years.
Yeah, and, you know, this again has, IRAs used to be pretty simple things to leave because people did not have the tax tables to deal with that we have now. IRAs did not used to be as big as they are now. We see some pretty doggone big IRAs come in here that are old 401ks from several different companies that have been rolled over, combined with IRAs, combined with 403bs, whatever. And these things get very big. What we're dealing with, and we've seen this evolution occurring for a number of years, but I think it really is at its peak right now, where the younger generations very often are much more successful than even the parents were, or as successful as the parents were. And to leave them a whole pile of taxable income is not always the best thing to do. So, you know, we've gotten to a stage now where when we start talking to clients about IRAs and inheriting IRAs, we want to talk about are involved, which for us means we've got to have attorneys involved, we have to have tax people, your tax people involved, your financial, us. It becomes a team effort. It's become much more complicated now than sitting down and saying, well, let's talk about who we want your beneficiaries to be. It's more complicated than that now. From what we're seeing, it looked like in 2020 some attempt was made to perhaps simplify some of this and rush out that taxable income so the government could get their taxes. But it seems like it was not well thought out and the rules were not established before it came out. Because right. Now everybody's saying, wait, this isn't what you said in the beginning, and now you're saying something else. Now, the one person who is still safe is the spouse. So
we've got a news break. We're going to pick up on this just a moment.
Let's take a quick break and check into the newsroom. Mark Jacobs.
A local clinic using the J&J vaccine canceled. Story after Fox.
News. I'm Chris Foster. The use of Johnson & Johnson's coronavirus vaccine is recommended to be put on hold by federal health regulators. Six women who got it, fewer than one in a million, developed a rare form of blood clotting and one died. Dr. Peter Marks with the FDA says they think they know what's happening here.
That is that this is an immune response that occurs very, very rarely after some people receive the vaccine, and that immune response leads to activation of the platelets and these extremely rare blood clots.
All six cases were in women 48 years old and younger. The prosecution rests in the murder trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. He's accused of causing George Floyd's death with a knee on his neck during his arrest last May.
The defense will now show its own evidence and start calling witnesses today, possibly wrapping its case by Thursday, with closing arguments expected next Monday.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 10:31 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620, 73, partly sunny. I'm Mark Jacobs. Community Health Northwest Florida has canceled a Johnson & Johnson vaccine clinic that was previously scheduled for tomorrow in Milton at the former Bell store. That follows today's recommendation from the FDA and CDC not to use the vaccine for the time being. The cancellation only affects J&J, the county's vaccination station at Parkmore Plaza, remains operational with Moderna vaccines. This late word in, Governor DeSantis has now put a hold on use of the J&J vaccine statewide. Navy Federal Credit Union named one of the best 100 companies to work for, again, the 10th year in a row for the honor. Great Places to Work, as well as Fortune magazine, say Navy Federal has received the award 11 times now, remains the only credit union on the list. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
Mostly sunny skies, that high this afternoon near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, we will be seeing mostly cloudy skies, that low near 64 degrees. Wind coming out of the south around 5 miles an hour. Going into Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly after 1 p.m. Otherwise, increasing clouds, that high near 76 degrees. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
73 in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 74 in Milton at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Stocks are mixed. The Dow Industrial's down 113 at 33,632. But the NASDAQ is up 82. The S&P 500 is up 4. The FDA is asking states to temporarily halt using J&J's COVID-19 vaccine after six people in the U.S. developed a rare blood clotting disorder. The FDA says the recommendation is out of an abundance of caution, adding the adverse events seen in a handful of recipients appears to be extremely rare. In fact, 7 million people have gotten the shot. All six cases occurred in women between the ages of 18 and 48. Will Smith is pulling the production of his film Emancipation out of Georgia in response to voting restrictions enacted by the Republican-led state legislature. The Civil War-era film follows the life of a man who escaped slavery to fight in the Union Army and became an iconic figure in the abolitionist movement. Smith and the director wrote in a statement they can't, in good conscience, provide economic support to the government. That's Your Money Now.
Business owners, second quarter is here. Wait, a quarter of the year is gone and you're still struggling to put together your strategies for your marketing plan this year?
No. We actually have a wonderful strategy in place. I'm just going to go get it. Oh my gosh, you guys, get a plan together quick!
Don't waste another day. Contact ADX Digital today. Hey, it's Callie Scully, Digital Sales Director for ADX Digital, and it's time you stop wondering, stop stressing, and the overwhelm you feel can end today. At ADX Digital, we are your comprehensive digital marketing partner, and we're here to help. We are local marketing professionals, we understand the market, and we know what works for businesses just like yours. We'd love to build a partnership with you. Make today the last day you feel overwhelmed. At ADX Digital, we'll work with you to create a customized digital marketing partnership tailored exactly to your business to help you achieve your goals. Don't waste another day. Email me today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com. That's connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
take a short lifestyle detour from the news of the world. Here's Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
And they stay there. Up, 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 up. Win, win, win. Woo! Welcome back to Winning with Mainstay and Emily and Bob. So glad to have you. And today we're talking about the new IRS Publication 590 that just came out. And Jenna, I think you tell me we have Mr. Wallace on the phone.
Yes, Wallace from Pensacola. Good morning. Do you have some questions for Annalee and Bob?
Well, yes, ma'am. I started an IRA a couple years ago, and without knowing that I couldn't contribute to it because I'm on a disability. I was wondering what should I do to get started a Roth IRA, and then when they told me I'm not supposed to make contribution. I thought my Social Security because it was taxed, it was taken out of my check or whatever. I was able to invest in an IRA, but they told me no.
I only started
an account with $200, so it's just like $207 in it.
Okay. So you see, that's where the tax laws can really catch you, because depending upon how the IRS wants to interpret something depends upon how it gets slotted in the little boxes that the IRS gives you. So if you're doing your income tax report, anything that you get from a pension, part of your Social Security, for income tax, that's considered earned income and you have to pay taxes on it. But when you go to make a contribution to an IRA, those are not considered earned income. You must have a J-O-B. You got to have a job with someone paying you money that you can then take and contribute. So to whoever took that money from you in the first place should not have done it. They should have known better. And should have questioned you on where this income was coming from. So this is correct. You cannot make an IRA contribution being on disability because you don't have that little three-letter word, a J-O-B, okay? Now, according to the rules, you are supposed to take that money out and pay a 6% penalty for over contribution. Now, who does your taxes, Wallace?
It used to be Jackson, H&R Block.
H&R Block, okay. They should be able to help you fill that out on your tax form. And if you only have $200 and something in there, what it's going to be, $12 for a penalty. But the longer you leave it in there, the worse it's going to be. Bob, do you have anything else on that?
No, I think that about covers it. I really think that you're going to have a small penalty. It'll be nominal and just get it behind you.
Yeah, okay. Just get it done, babe. Get rid of it. And I'm sorry that happened to you because here you are trying to do a good thing and you get caught up. And that's just, I wish I could change that for you, but I can't. And since it is such a small amount, it might not be really a big to do. But yeah, I'd get it done now. Don't wait. Okay?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank yes, you, ma'am. Wallace,
thank
for
you,
calling,
Wallace.
And have a wonderful day, hon. Be careful out there.
Yes, ma'am. You're the same. God bless. Bye-bye.
You too. You too. There's crazy people out there. You got to be careful. I almost got hit yesterday coming across into the office on that wonderful piece of highway I have to travel every day.
Yeah, and almost every day, you know, the people I talk to that are coming back and forth across the bridge, I am not one of them. I'm on this side of the bridge. Every day is an adventure. And,
Connie, scary.
Connie, excuse me, Connie comes home and there's always a story, you know,
yeah.
A wreck,
yeah.
Just crazy drivers. It's
just
nuts. Think we're spoiled here and we're just not used to traffic. We're not used to that.
Well, yeah, but Bob, this isn't even traffic. This is people being put into a situation of two lanes only, and if people get aggravated, they get upset, they're late for their jobs, they're late going where they have to go, and it's not like you can gauge it. You can't say like, okay, I live in Atlanta, I know it's going to take me an hour to go to work. So you leave an hour early and you know you're going to get there. 9 times out of 10, you're going to get there in that hour. This is so unpredictable because all it takes is one little fender bender and what should have been an hour trip turns into a 2.5 hour trip. The other day we made it from the interstate into Gulf Breeze in 28 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's like,
wow.
What happened? You know, so it's just crazy. So, yeah, be careful.
So one of the things I wanted to do real quickly is, you know, we talked about the beneficiary of an IRA who now has his or her own beneficiary IRA, and they, you know, inherited, let's say, now in 2021, and they are subject to this 10-year rule. There is no stretch IRA available to them. And we talked about the 60-year-old that has about 5 more years to work and wants the flexibility to push it out to the years when they have no earned income and realize that income in the last 5 years of that 10 years. Another one, and you started to mention this, Annalee, and I think these stories are so powerful. We do have some large IRAs. And, you know, let's say, you know, somebody that has $1.5 million in their IRA and they are the surviving spouse and they have one child. And let's say that child is, you know, 50s, 60s, whatever it is, and they are going to inherit 100% of this $1.5 million IRA. And how many years do they have to take all that money out and pay income taxes on it, Annalee?
Well, it depends on how this rule is interpreted. Yeah. It's either just the 10 or it's the RMDs with the 10. But one way or another, it's all got to be taken out in 10 years.
But if you're in your 50s and you inherit $1.5 million in an IRA, and the way the rules are now, you have to take that out within the 10 years. And it's just this very arduous income tax event that is not going away. And, so it is difficult. We do have the two extremes where it's not necessarily a big deal because it's a smaller IRA and there are, you know, let's say 5 or 6 kids, to the one where it's an extremely large IRA and there's one child beneficiary. And of course, when we say child, that child can be 50, can be 60, right?
Yeah. So the whole thing is people don't just be very, very careful with IRAs if you're inheriting them. I've seen people do really foolish things, or they'll come in and say, well, I want to take that IRA that I inherited from my parents and I want to add it to my IRA. You cannot do that. The only person in the world that can do that is a spouse. If you are the sole beneficiary, you are the spouse, you can inherit an IRA you can step into the ownership of that IRA, make it your own, add it to your own IRA. A lot of difference if you're a spouse, but if you're a non-spouse, you're very, very limited. You can't roll it. You can't inherit an IRA from your mom and an IRA from your dad and add those together. You cannot do that. They have to remain separate IRAs that are beneficiary IRAs. You must take the distributions. Now, depending upon how they finally interpret this law, you're either going to have to take a distribution every year according to the RMD tables, all out by the end of the 10th year, or somehow get it all out by the end of the 10th year, whether that be taking it all in the 10th year, which is probably not a good idea, or spreading it out across those 10 years. But again, this is why I'm saying to you, you have got to have your tax person, your financial person, you, everybody's got to be involved in these decisions. And the sad thing is, not all people who put themselves out there as quote unquote advisors understand the rules of IRAs. I don't know if I ever told you this story, Bob, but years ago, when I still had my office in Gulf Breeze, had a lady come to me, and she was engaged to this gentleman. They were going to get married. Unfortunately, he passed away before they got married. He had her as the beneficiary, the sole beneficiary. But what had not yet happened? They hadn't gotten married. Okay?
Oh, gosh.
Yep. Yeah. So she went to a very prominent broker-dealer. They did the right thing. They put it into a beneficiary IRA. But guess what they never told her? That she had to take required minimum distributions. She came to me 5 years after she had this thing. So guess what kind of a quagmire we had to go through? We had to go back 5 years, figure the required minimum distributions, take those out, and of course, guess what else she had to do? She had to pay the 50% penalty for not taking required minimum distributions.
Wow. What a shame. What a shame.
Yeah. And that was a very prominent broker-dealer in this city. But that's why you got to, if you're going to deal with IRAs, people, Bob, tell them the story we just dealt with a client coming in about the backdoor Roth, the spousal backdoor Roth. What were they told by an investment advisor?
Oh, gosh, yes, you're exactly right. They were told that they could not. I will say this. One of the spouses, actually the wife, was told that she could not do a backdoor Roth because she was told that she was not able to contribute to the traditional, and that's the first step, of course, in the backdoor Roth, because she didn't have a job. And the crazy thing is, and this is not even going into the spousal contribution, the crazy thing is she did have a job. She did have a job. It was a part-time job, and she made over, the minimum at the time, and I think it was $6,000, maybe it was $7,000, maybe it was just last year, but she's over 50, and was told unequivocally she couldn't do it. But she had it under two paths. And one, the spousal contribution, and second, she made enough money on her own. It was a part-time job, but anyway, that's pretty amazing, isn't it, Annalie?
Yeah, so she missed 2 years of doing a backdoor Roth, having that building up for her because someone gave her the wrong information. So if you're looking for an advisor and you're talking to people, one of the things I would grill them on is their knowledge of IRAs, what they do to keep up to date, I can pretty well guarantee you most people did not get this copy of publication 590 and the up and warning about this yesterday, because it just came out Friday afternoon. They'll be getting it sometime during this week. Some of them. Some of them will never get it.
This information is hot off the press, as they say.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I couldn't get any hotter unless if I had had all of you on my email with me yesterday, you know? So, I mean, this is the big thing. Now, while we're on IRAs, let's just kind of finish this show with IRAs. There's a lot of rumors. There's a lot of conspiracy theories coming out. And again, this is my little news clipping as of yesterday from Ed Slott. It does not seem that required minimum distributions will be waived again in 2021. Let me repeat that. It does not seem that required minimum distributions will be waived again for the year 2021. If you go back to last year when they waived everything, what had happened? I mean, the Dow Jones had taken an unbelievable drop. It just tumbled. It was at 29,000. By mid-March, we were under 19,000. That meant that all of the IRA 401k balances plummeted. So the government stepped in to try to give people a break. Well, this year, I mean, where's the Dow Jones now?
And I think that leads us to, you know, was the RMD waived or suspended for 2020? And the reason was really twofold. Number one, it's a demand-driven stock market, okay? If everybody, people that are required to take their RMDs are liquidating their assets that are in the market to take their RMDs, the market is going to go down naturally. The other reason is you really don't want to sell assets in a market where it has gone down, whatever it had gone down, at least in your portfolio. Let's say it was between 20 and 25, maybe even 30-40%. So the only other time in history that the RMDs had been suspended was after the stock market crash of 2008. And so RMDs were suspended in 2009. The difference between 2008 and 2020, both drops in the stock market of approximately 35-38%. The 2008 drop was a very slow year-long ride downward, and as we know, in 2020, the recent rearview mirror, it really happened beginning the end of February, and then dropped like a rock in during the month of March. These are the two times, and I think for all intents and purposes, we can expect no waiver or suspension of the RMD in 2021. Correct, Annalee?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. Slott doesn't think it's going to happen. I mean, we're not saying maybe they might, but all indications are is that, yes, you're going to have to take your RMD for the year 2021. If you are over the age 70 and a half, the qualified charitable contributions are still totally legal, so you may want to do some of that. The other conspiracy theory, of course, that's going around, and gosh, I have heard this one probably for at least 10 years. I've heard this one. That they're going to make Roth earnings taxable. That's so highly doubtful. And of course, as Slott always says, tax laws are written in pencil, which is, it kind of tells you something about how solid they are. Anything's possible, but for that to come about politically, it would be so risky. If they made this promise and they change it now, whatever party did that, you could forget them being around for the next 20, 30 years. They would be so blackballed. It would be unbelievable. And Congress right now, I mean, let's look at it, people. they have so much on their plate right now with this whole thing going on still with COVID, not being able to get control, getting vaccines out, political unrest that's happening. I think this is so far on one of the back burners, it doesn't even exist, the thought process. Why would we want to fund a Roth if we thought that that was going to come about? And I'm not saying you can trust the government. I mean, look at the Secure Act and everything that went on. But I do think that there are some things that if they do, they would politically just be committing Harry Caray. I mean, I can't think of any reason why they would do something like that.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think that the Roth IRA distributions becoming taxable, I think that's right up there with the thought or the premise that I'm going to be retiring in the next couple of years and there's not going to be any Social Security. It's something that I think needs to be addressed, you know, certainly, but it's not, I don't think it's a fear that that is very realistic.
Maybe long term,
but don't worry about your Roth IRAs, the distributions, being taxable. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
And the other terrible rumor that goes around is that they're coming around saying, oh, the government's going to come and they're going to claim your IRA and they're going to claim your 401k. And people, they're not doing that, okay? Now, the people that are putting those rumors out are the people that want you to move your money into their stuff. There's an unbelievable amount rumor out there where, you know, you got all these advertisements. Oh, put your money in gold, get your money out of the IRA, get your money out of annuities, put it in gold because the government's coming after your annuities. The government's coming. No, they are not. Okay. So that's just a way for people to get you to buy what they're selling. Fall for that kind of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of conspiracy stuff out there and a lot of rumor and a lot of things that sit down, read facts, talk to the experts before you make decisions based on these things. Because once you make some of these decisions, you can't undo them.
Right. That's exactly right. And, you know, I think the whole idea and the policy decisions are that you start an account like a Roth IRA, you know, going in that it's never going to be taxed again. You pay into Social Security. You see that FICA coming out of your paycheck. That is your right when you turn whatever, 62 or whatever age beyond that you choose up until age 70 to turn it on. And I just think that those are things we don't need to worry about. You know, another one we hear a lot about is, the cost basis, the step up in cost basis going away, and that you're going to inherit the same cost basis. We're getting off of IRAs today. But I think we could probably do a whole show, Annalee, on, you know, dispelling a lot of the conspiracy theories or things that we just really don't think are going to happen.
Actually, Bob, I do one of those about every year, because every year that stuff just waves up again. Listen, people, go out, say please, say thank you, be nice, open a door for somebody, and I promise you we're going to make it a wonderful world, but it's got to be a joint effort. Take care. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.